Welcome, advanced listeners, to our health article for the month of April. And we've been looking at mental illness and how mental illness is becoming an A-list topic. Here we mean A-list becoming more well-known, being talked about in the public setting, and whether it is through celebrities talking about their own struggles or characters being depicted on TV shows and films, we're learning to talk about mental illness in society a lot more. Now, with me, I have two great panelists. To my right, I have...
Hi, everyone. I'm Campbell. It's great to be back.
Thanks for coming back, Campbell.
Thank you.
What is something you learned from yesterday?
Well, I think it's really interesting how in the past, you know, especially in Hollywood, mental illness was kind of hush-hush. People didn't really talk about it.
Yeah.
But now it's coming more to the forefront. People are dealing with it in different ways. They're depicting it on TV and in film. And A-list celebrities are actually now coming out and sharing that they also are suffering, not just, you know, in these characters, but like in real life.
Exactly. So that's helping people talk about it more openly in public. What about you, Josh? What did you learn from yesterday?
Well, I really learned this idea that when you have celebrities talking about these real issues in public, and then it makes it a little bit easier for people to talk about it in their own lives, right?
Mm.
So this idea that someone who is very successful could also suffer from something like postpartum depression, and or someone who is living a public life where it really does seem like there's someone you would look up to could also be suffering from depression. So that someone could be successful and suffer at the same time, I think really does make these issues seem a little bit more accessible for everybody to relate to.
Right. And I think it's interesting. Celebrities nowadays tend to see the responsibility they have as being a spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
For example, they realize that they have this platform that they are able to use to help change things within society.
Right.
And this is one of the ways that they are doing that, is through drawing attention to the struggles that they face in everyday life and allowing perhaps the people that do look up to them, their fans, people that watch them on the TV shows and in movies, realizing that this is part of reality, and also how do they deal with it. In our lesson yesterday, we talk about messy realities of psychological problems,
mm-hmm.
and that real life can be messy at times, but how do we deal with it when that happens? So we learned about different celebrities drawing attention. Yesterday, we learned about an actress and advocate, Patty Duke. She became famous as a child star, and she herself was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and she, in her time from then onwards, she became an advocate about mental illness and has helped a lot of other people deal with and address their mental illness. Her son went to say, instead of just being someone who exhibited behavior that was inappropriate, which means not necessarily correct by normal standards, she became a champion for other people who felt the same. And when you become a champion, it's you are somebody that goes forward and talks about this and really helps other people be able to have a conversation about it. Now, we're going to learn a little bit more about her today and how she became that advocate. So if you have your advanced magazine, please open to page 31 or your electronic device and join us as we take the first reading today from column 1 down to line 12.
Even with Duke's activism, it has taken years for depression to come out of the closet. Mental illness continues to carry a stigma other ailments do not. But the increasing value placed on personal narrative appears to be breaking down that barrier. Katrina Gay serves as the National Director of Communications and Public Affairs for the National Alliance on Mental Health. With individuals increasingly living their lives online via Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, She explains that many celebrities are left with a choice. Am I going to be a persona? Or am I going to be authentic and honest?
Well, listeners, we learned yesterday about Patty Duke and her advocacy towards mental illness. But what do we learn that even though she has been a great advocate for mental illness, what has continued to happen, Kim?
Well, it's taken years for depression to come out of the closet. And when we talk about something coming out of the closet, it means we're exposing it. We're, revealing it.
Right. Okay. So it's taken a long time. Yesterday, you talked about a word called stigma, right?
Mm-hmm.
And stigma means that there's a bad connotation or a bad image connected with something or a certain topic or even a certain person. But here, we see that depression has taken a long time to not have that stigma attached to it. It says mental illness continues to carry a stigma that other ailments do not. Do you agree with that, Josh?
I do. So I think maybe one of the other ailments or illnesses that we could look to would be cancer. And this was even slightly before my time, but I do remember that there was a time when cancer was considered to be kind of like a really terrible thing, and that people who were suffering from it really did so in private and wouldn't really talk about like the process of going through chemotherapy and how that affected them. But now I think there's not such that negative feeling for cancer, and people talk about it and getting treatment and checked for it fairly early. And it's a pretty common thing for people to do or to talk about. Whereas still somebody talking about suffering from depression, I think, still carries a little bit of like, well, is it a true illness? Is it a problem? Is it just, is there something wrong with you sort of thing, right? So I do agree with this idea.
Yeah, because when it comes to mental illness, there's no actual physical, necessarily any physical manifestation. So you, on the outside, they can look just fine.
Right.
You know, so like Josh said, a lot of times it's like, well, is that real?
Right.
You know, are you really depressed? Or maybe you're just sad. Can't you just get over it?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And a lot of times they can't, you know, and that's why it's a mental illness.
Well, what has been changing or helping to change this stigma and how people view mental illness, Josh?
Well, now, this is sort of an interesting statement of how this is developing. So this idea that there's an increasing value placed on personal narrative, right? So a narrative is, you know, a story or a description about your life or somebody's life, right? So, but this idea here is that we as a society are putting more value on people's real stories, right? The story of their life, be it this sort of like, you know, a reality television where we're being entertained by this idea of people's real lives entertaining us, to people talking about issues that are actually happening in their own real life, that that's something that we're very interested in and put value on.
Right. Well, we know that celebrities have a lot of their life shown in public, you know, whether it is just through the interviews that they give or through paparazzi, you know, trying to get a story on them or show photos of them within magazines. But now with the internet, we have also seen an increase in online media. And through our social media, such as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, you know, we can see something about our favorite celebrity very quickly. And so that's caused Katrina Gay, who is the National Director of Communications and Public Affairs for the National Alliance on Mental Health, to share with us something that celebrities need to decide. What do they need to decide?
Well, they need to decide, am I going to be a persona or am I going to be authentic and honest? Am I going to play a character or am I going to show you who I really am?
Right. And that's a little bit about what we talked about earlier. You mentioned, you know, that previously celebrities were trying to show a shiny exterior, right? That life was I have this great life. I have a perfect life, right? And in fact, we learned yesterday from Howard Bregman, who is a publicist. Well, that's his job, right?
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
But now with social media, you know, people can snap a photo of you. I don't know where, nightclub or like at the supermarket,
even right?
Showing the real side of yourself, right? And then a celebrity has to decide, well, do I want to keep up the act of who I am as a character, or do I want people to know who I really am?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, we all do that to some extent, right? If you look at Facebook, that's not real life.
Right.
And honestly, sometimes, you know, the funny thing is the other day I was, you know, listening to some audio about, you know, self-improvement, and I was feeling really good, and I took a break real quick and I went to Facebook, and then all of a sudden I felt like my whole mood just dropped.
Hmm.
And I was like, whoa, what is that? And I realized that there's something about Facebook when you're seeing everybody's life and how, you know, oh, we're having so much fun here, we're doing this, we're doing that, it just kind of depresses you and it makes you feel like less, you know, in some ways. And I think we all need to be careful about that and be aware.
Right. Yeah. And that's, yeah, so that is a decision that we ourselves need to make in everyday life too, right? Do we want to, or even do we want to take what people are showing us on Facebook as their persona, or, you know, maybe they are really dealing with other stuff in their in their everyday life, you know? So that's something we can learn as well. Well, we go on to learn what is currently happening and the view towards mental illness in our next paragraph for today.
The trend is transparency. We live in this crazy world where secrets don't stay secrets very well anymore, Bregman said. What people are finding is a measure of respect, and a lot of good things can actually come from starting a dialogue. Does this increased discussion have an influence on the general population? Yes and no, said Dr. Andrew Luchter, professor of psychiatry at the Semmel Institute at UCLA. At least half the patients with depression in the country are not receiving treatment, Luchter said. Many of them haven't even received a formal diagnosis of depression. Yet Luchter sees hope among students, where about 20% of the UCLA population is actively seeking assistance for depression and other psychiatric illnesses.
Well, what we are currently seeing within the celebrity world is that there is a trend in transparency. And what does transparency mean, Josh?
Well, so transparency, or something that is transparent, is something that you can see through, right? So the idea here is that the trend in transparency is that nothing is held back or hidden, that everything is kind of opened up so that anyone can see it.
Right. And what do we learn from Bregman, Campbell?
Well, he says that we live in this crazy world where secrets don't stay secrets very well anymore.
Right. And that's what we talked about earlier with regard to social media. Perhaps you are out at the supermarket, you see your celebrity shopping, and you take a photo of them and realize their favorite cereal is Raisin Bran. I don't know. But of course, then you know what they eat. And so these things are no longer a secret. And that's not just with regard to breakfast cereal, but with regard to the way that they live their life or the struggles that they're dealing with.
Yeah. You know? And I mean, it's so easy for things and news to travel now, you know? And so in the past, I think maybe 20, 30 years ago, it was easy for them to kind of craft an image. But now you can't. You know, now, unless you're on guard 24/7, it's hard, right? So anybody might catch you doing something and then just
put it on Facebook.
Put it on Facebook, and it just spreads like wildfire.
Right. So, but on the flip side of that is what people are finding is a measure of respect, and a lot of good things can actually come from starting a dialogue. So the other flip side of that is when we're seeing celebrities dealing with the realities of life or the messy realities, people are respecting that.
Sure.
And they're starting to have a conversation about it, right? Which in turn can make us think, okay, how are we dealing with this topic in society? But it leads us to a question. And the question is, does this increased discussion of celebrities dealing with the messy realities of life, does it have an influence on the general population, Josh?
Well, so the answer to this here we see from a Dr. Andrew Loyster, who's a professor of psychiatry, and his answer is yes and no, right? So it's a little bit of a confusing answer, but he goes on to explain. But the reason why we should be sort of paying attention to what he says in this field is that he's a doctor of psychiatry.
Okay.
Now, psychiatry is the medical study of emotional and mental disorders, as well as a few other things. But it's basically, it is a medical doctor,
right,
who has studied both mental illnesses and the way that the body reacts to mental illnesses and different things that can go on. So they would be able to, say, prescribe medicine as well as treat the body as well as the mind, right? So it's a very interesting person to be talking to about this subject, because what he goes on to say is that at least half of the patients with depression in the United States are not receiving treatment, which that's a huge number, right?
Right.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so he's in university. Uh-huh. He deals with students, uh-huh, right? And so we've been talking about how mental illness is being addressed from celebrities.
Sure. Uh-huh.
But now we're talking about, we're going to university here, uh-huh, and we're not seeing students dealing with their mental health in quite the same way that celebrities are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it says here that at least half the patients, as Josh was saying, half the patients with depression are not receiving treatment. And part of that is because a lot of them don't even know they have depression,
right,
necessarily.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they feel they're sad and, mm-hmm, and or trying to deal with the stress of their studies. They haven't really realized that they actually have depression. Mm-hmm. In fact, it says many of them haven't even received a formal diagnosis of depression.
Exactly.
And perhaps, like you said, Campbell, it's because they're not actually being seen.
Right.
They, maybe, mm-hmm, they're not, haven't been to a doctor or haven't thought it's bad enough that I need to go and see,
right,
somebody about it.
Yeah, I mean, mental illness is tricky because it's not like you see this growth or you have any kind of symptoms. You know, I have,
right,
this hacking cough that I've had over 3 months. You know, there's something physically wrong with me. It's kind of just this
subtle.
Yeah, and it's very abstract, you know, so it's like, am I just sad? Am I tired? Or is this depression?
Right.
You know, and maybe I'm excited in one moment because something exciting happens, but, you know, and now I'm sad because, you know, so is that bipolar? Because it's so serious, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't ever want to feel like, oh, I have these problems.
Mm, exactly. And, you know, I think also now with the internet, a lot of people try to self-diagnose.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So they will put their symptoms into Google and then see what the computer has to say. But that is not necessarily helping them with treatment,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what Andrew Lechter has found in his dealings with students in university. He says, yet he sees hope among students. Why does he see hope among students, Josh?
Well, so when he was getting to this answer of whether or not this discussion really has an effect on the general population, the no answer was that many people who actually have depression are not really seeking or getting a formal diagnosis. But then the yes answer is that among the students here of the UCLA population, about 20% is actively seeking assistance, right? So that means going to people like in the medical field who can help them with their mental illnesses and find treatment and help with it, right? So that's kind of the yes answer. So that maybe amongst people who are of a younger generation, that now because this discussion has been out there, it's a little bit easier for them to identify with those problems and then seek treatment for it.
Right. And that's actually a very good percentage within the student population to see that they're actively seeking help for their mental illness.
Yeah.
Well, in the process of this conversation that we're having about mental illness, there can be a lot of misconceptions that we need to deal with because there can be a lot of stigma attached to mental illness. So let's look at our last paragraph today called Correcting Common Misconceptions.
Correcting Common Misconceptions. One of the challenges to destigmatize mental illness is in clearing up public misconceptions about things like depression. Everybody's condition is different, Gay said. Mental illness and mental health challenges run a big gamut. People like things to be simple and easy to understand, and this just isn't. It's not one size fits all. With fan bases that entail millions, celebrities are in prime position to reach more people than most when sharing their experiences. We didn't used to know anybody with mental illness, and all of a sudden, we do, Bragman said.
Well, earlier today we talked about how mental illness continues to carry a stigma that other ailments do not. So we see that there are a lot of misconceptions that still need to be challenged within society. First of all, what is a misconception, Josh?
So a misconception is an idea that you have about something that you think is right, but is actually not the case. It's not right, or it's not factual.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So we're hoping to correct these. But what is one of those challenges?
Well, one of the challenges is to destigmatize mental illness. And that needs to be done by clearing up public misconceptions about things like depression.
Right. So this is saying there's a public misconception about depression. And what is some of those misconceptions, Josh?
Well, now this is sort of it's an interesting misconception because everybody's condition is different, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people would like to think, like they say, that things can be simple, you know, that like if you are sick, then you have certain symptoms and that means that you're sick and then that's it, right? But one of the misconceptions about mental illness is that, and the challenge is that mental illness and mental health challenges can run a big gamut, right? So this is an idiom we use to say that it's a whole range of things.
Right.
And the idea here is that, you know, if somebody is suffering from depression, their symptoms could be very different from somebody else who is suffering from depression or bipolar or, you know, so, and it just runs a huge range of things. So it's very difficult for people to say like, oh, you're not depressed because you're, you know, you're still moving around. You're not sitting in bed all day, where that may not actually be the way that somebody suffers from depression, right, in their particular case.
Yeah, and so many people can look absolutely normal and have functioning lives and but still have it, you know, have depression or have some sort of mental illness, you know, and it's the same with, you know, bipolar disorder or autism. There's a whole range, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can't say, that's what depression looks like, you know?
Mm-hmm. And why is this a challenge for people's thinking? Because people like things to be simple. Mm-hmm. We like it to be easy to understand. And mental illness just isn't easy to understand.
Mm-mm. It's true.
In fact, if you read a lot of articles from psychiatrists and psychologists, they're still learning so much about the human brain.
Right.
That there's a lot of things we still don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you can do a test, like, you know, with heart disease, you know, with high cholesterol. Mm-hmm. You can do a test and there are numbers that show you, you know, there's no sort of test that you can do that say, oh, you have, you know, you know, have 10% depression. You have 30% depression.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think psychiatrists are learning a lot more, and as they encounter different people with different symptoms, they're able to record that, and that's helping a lot of other people around the world. But like you said, Josh, it's not one size fits all.
Right. So the idea here is that you can't have a diagnosis that just fits everybody, right?
And treatment.
Yeah, exactly, right? So and that's even maybe more important. Mm-hmm. Right? The way that it's treated is also not one size fits all, right? Mm-hmm. So there's not one thing that works for everybody. that is suffering from a certain illness.
Right. Well, we've talked about this a little bit. The celebrities have a platform that a normal everyday person does not. They are looked up to. They are idolized by their fans. And so they have this contact or this influence on people that they can use for good or for bad. Mm-hmm. But we see with fan bases that entail millions, celebrities are in a prime position to reach more people than most when sharing their experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Prime here meaning they're in a very good position to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, what does Bregman go on to say?
Well, he says, we didn't used to know anybody with mental illness, and all of a sudden we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so this goes back to what we were saying earlier about, you know, you might have these problems and you feel like you're the only one in the world, and then you look at these celebrities and they seem so perfect, but now that they're being open and transparent, you can, you know, in a way, identify, you know, with them. And you kind of like, wow, okay, so they're just like me. Right. And look at them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so it can bring a little bit of an encouragement. Too.
Right. And that's what we hope, too, by having this conversation today.
Mm-hmm.
Also for you listeners to learn about how celebrities are talking about mental illness and bringing attention to this once shameful issue, that you, too, will feel free to also have open conversation about
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope that this can happen so that if there are people in your life that are experiencing mental illness, that they would have the courage to perhaps see somebody and get treatment for that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything you would like to share as we finish off for today?
Well, just that if you are suffering or you think you might be suffering from mental illness, there's no shame in that.
Mm.
Go get some help, talk to people, you know, and I think even regular people can help with counseling, you know, counseling can be helpful.
Mm. Mm.
And I like this idea, too. I think that even if you're not suffering from some of these issues, to maybe take a look at them and sort of maybe try and understand them a little bit
sure.
more and realize that, you know, these are real things that happen to people.
Yeah.
Mm. There's nothing wrong with anyone who's suffering from something like this. They're
okay.
suffering from an illness, just like you would from diabetes
mm-hmm.
or from cancer.
Right.
It's just something that happens to people, and there's nothing wrong with anyone
mm-hmm.
who is suffering from an illness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listeners, thanks for joining us today as we look at this topic, and we hope that you will join us next time as we tackle another interesting advanced article. But for now, this is Amanda.
Campbell.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.